Can't help but praise him. Anybody else? Anybody else got a praise report? Something you want to testify to the glory of the Lord. Scripture says praise him. Amen. We want everybody to praise him. But you got to start somewhere, huh? And that has to start in this old circle that I draw around myself. That I will praise and praise and praise him. I mentioned to y'all this morning before we jump maybe into a psalm. Go to Joshua 21. And we can't help but see all these great things in the book that God has given us. And in Joshua 21, it's kind of summing it up for us as you get to 22 and 23. They had done what they had done in 21 and the promises being fulfilled. But looking about verse 43, Joshua 21, 43. We can always, some of these Ebenezers, these stones, they remind us when we read them. God has caused these wonderful works to be remembered, and he has penned them for us. But in verse 43, I want you to just pick up on the idea of these words, the Lord gave, the Lord gave, the Lord gave. So verse 43, so the Lord gave to Israel, not some of the land, but what? All of the land of which he had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. Now they had not conquered it all yet. But it was theirs. It was theirs. It was given to them. Joshua 21. Did I say that? Joshua 21. I thought I said that. I don't always get it right. Now I can lead you to in my mind somewhere else, thinking I was leading you somewhere else. You ever done that before? You thought you said something, but you actually said something different, but you would have never known any different because you thought you said what you said. Oh, Miss Barbara, all the time, huh? Is he confessing right now? Yeah. But look, 21:43. I'd mentioned to him, Stephen, this morning because we're moving into next week, out of Joshua into the Judges. And as we... there's so much in Joshua that had happened, and we've looked at Joshua a few times over the last couple of weeks, kind of in the middle of it, of what God was doing to work all this out. Remember, God routed the enemy to them, and we see that happening. God brought them and delivered them to them. Brought them and delivered them to them. So here we have, the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. Remember, that was Joshua's responsibility, to divide the land. That's what he kept encouraging as he groomed Joshua. As he groomed Joshua through Moses, he kept telling him to what? Be strong and courageous. God came to Moses and said, look, you encourage Joshua and strengthen him. Same words, be strong and courageous. They're used again and again and again. We've seen it in Deuteronomy 1, Deuteronomy 3, and Deuteronomy 31, where on those occasions, on top of occasions, it's like grace upon grace. When God's grooming a person, he keeps bringing the same word to him again and again and again. Be strong and courageous. Moses encouraged the man, edify the man. He's got a work to do, and he needs to be encouraged in that work. Now, the work was divide the land to my people. Now, the interesting thing is when you get into Joshua 1, and on those three, and there's actually four occasions in chapter 1 of Joshua, God says it again, be strong and courageous. The first time is to remind him of what his responsibility was, to divide the land. And then he's going to say, now for you to be successful in doing that responsibility, you're going to have to meditate upon the law of the Lord. It's going to have to be the priority of your life. Number two, the reason it's the priority of your life, so that you could actually walk in it. if you want my blessing and favor upon you, you have to trust me and walk in my ways. I have to guide you. Well, you can't be guided by the Lord if you're not meditating upon the things of God. And then he says, and your way shall be successful. So we see the plan that God gave him, meditate. We see the reason for it so he can walk in it. And then the result of it is that God would make his way successful. And what was his responsibilities in the land was to divide it to the 12 tribes. That's what he was supposed to do. Well, he did that because he meditated and followed the Lord, his guidance, in every situation they fought in. When they followed the Lord's guidance, they were victorious. No matter who they fought, no matter how many they fought, no matter how big they are, or how many they had, the chariots or the with the horses, remember God in his mercy. We looked at this Wednesday night in Joshua 11, where he said, hamstring the horses and burn the chariots so you won't put confidence in them. Because if you put confidence in them, you're not going to put confidence in me. And remember, if we're not putting confidence in the Lord, God's not going to work with us and do for us what he promised he would do. So we have to trust him. And so the Lord gave to Israel all the land to which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. Now, when we get into Judges is going to tell us that there was still some people left in the land that they didn't overcome yet. But God left them to teach another generation how to what? How to war. It was all intentional and purposeful. Now, the issue that we get into the book of Judges, in chapter 2, the scripture says that when Joshua and the elders of his generation died, the next generation didn't know the things of God. They didn't pass them on to them. That's what we've been gleaning in Psalms reading, right? That, hey, we have to take upon the responsibility that if their fathers and mothers won't pass it on to them, we have to pass it on to them. We take upon that responsibility because it only takes one generation to lose it all. Amen. To lose it all. So the Lord gave, verse number 44, the Lord gave them rest all around. That is in the idea of peace, that there was nobody coming in to fight with them. Because remember, the New Testament tells us that there still remains a rest, and that rest is found in the Lord. That rest is found in faith. Not rest from a society, but rest with God. That only comes not because you're in a land, but because you trust God. You're taking him at his word. Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter number 4 tells us that. So the Lord gave them rest all around, not just some around, but what? All around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all the enemy stood against them. So the Lord gave and delivered all their enemies into their hand. So we see these three dynamics. The Lord gave what? The land, gave rest, and gave their enemies into their hand. This was all gifts that God gave, all gifts that are to respond back in glory to the Lord, for praise unto the Lord. Now notice what verse 45 says. Not a word, not one word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. And all God's people said, that is as applicable for you and me today as it was for them in that day. That God does not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly with him. Amen? And that what psalm was that? That was in today's reading. Y'all keep that in mind. What psalm was in today's reading that says, no good thing will God will withhold from them that walk uprightly. You see, what was the requirement of Joshua? To meditate so that he could walk uprightly. To study, to think, to ponder, to always have God's word upon his lips when he spoke and when he thought and when he looked at a thing, he brought it and filtered it through the word of God. When he fought a battle, he filtered it through the message of God, that he was to lean upon him, that he was to be guided by him. And we see that again and again. And what did God do? His word never fails. Remember, what is done in faith lasts forever. And the only way to be done in faith is you got to have a good word from the Lord. Amen. And no good thing did he withhold from him. No, that, listen to what he says again. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken or promised to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Not one thing. 84:11. That's right. And remember what you've heard me say before. The good thing is often what? A hard thing. A hard thing. There were some hard things Joshua and them had to do. Some really hard things they had to do. They had to conquer that which God put before them and this gift that he gave them. They still had to battle. They still had to fight. They still had to march. They had to march from one side of the promised land to the other side of the promised land. They couldn't use nothing of conventional weaponry. They had to trust in God and use what he gave them. And that was a hard thing that they had to do. To hamstring a good and reliable, strong battle horse, that was a hard thing. To take that good chariot and put it in the fire and burn it up so you wouldn't trust it, that was a hard thing. Hard things don't make sense to us. But when you do the good thing, even though it's a hard thing, the good thing that God leads you in will never fail you. It'll never fail you. That goes along with, as Romans 5 would say. Remember, it's through trouble that God produces patience in us. And patience is going to produce a character in us, and a character is going to produce a hope in us, and that hope never disappoints. Even though you had to go through a hard thing, the hard thing was a good thing. And it won't fail you because it's spoken by the word of the Lord. And the hard thing is often the good thing that God gives us. You think about the people they had to wipe out. That's a hard thing. To go in when you had to conquer this land and defeat the people within it, that meant you had to kill people. And when they killed people, that was a hard thing. But God had given the land to them. God had given them eventually rest from everybody around. And then God gave them all their enemies and in their hand. And not one good thing that the Lord spoke failed. It all happened as God promised. And we, remember, the promised land is not a picture of heaven. It's a picture of our life and the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. And the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus is a good thing. But that good thing is often a hard thing. Because to produce the character in Christ in us, you have to go through hard things. You have to go through difficult things. That's why we keep seeing over and over and over and over in the scriptures this idea of God giving us good. But that good comes cloaked in difficulty. That good comes often covered up with a veil of hardship and difficulties. But it's producing a character in us. Just how like God left a group of people in the land so that another generation would learn how to battle and fight. That was what? God building what? Character in them. That God establishing character. That's why we go through trials. That's why we go through affliction. Why we go through the trouble. Because God is shaping us to be more like Jesus. And it's a beautiful, good thing. But it can be extremely difficult and hard at times. Challenging, unbearable. At times, when people tell you God won't put anything on you can't handle, don't listen to them. He will, because he does, and that's the whole point, is so that we'll have a sentence of depth in ourselves so that the life of Christ can be manifested out of us, not us. Amen? So, yes, look at, I just wanted to give y'all that, just to give us a picture. Okay, this was the work of every step as God groomed them, gripped them, grounded them, and what guided them. Every good thing God gave to them came to pass, and nothing failed in what he spoke over them. Amen. That's where we want to abide. Miss Pat brought out a point just a minute ago. She was thinking about Psalm 63:3, where Psalm 63:3 says that your loving kindness is better than what? Life. She put it out on our board outside on the marquee. Your loving kindness is better than life. Because life, even in all its grandeur and all its glory, life will fail you. Life will forsake you. Life will famish you. Life will make you look like a fool. But God's loving kindness, his mercies, cannot and will not, never will. They won't fail because they're the goodness of God. They're that useful goodness of God in the midst of the most challenging difficulties in life. You can rely upon him and you can trust him in a world that just don't make sense to the things he gives us to do. They will not fail. And what you do in faith, what we do in faith, will last forever. What we do in love will not fail. And the hope he builds will never, ever disappoint. Because it's always, Jesus is going to be seen in it. Jesus is going to be seen through it. Why? Because remember, what God does for us, he wants to do with us. And what he does with us, he wants to do through us. And it's when he does that which is through us, is when we bring him glory in this world. Yes, he does it. He's done it for us. But it don't have any value to us personally until it's done with us in faith. And what's done with us in faith then is done through us. And that's when the world see his glory through our life, when we are walking with him in faith. And that's the whole message of the book of Joshua, of all the triumphs of faith, of taking God at the little bit that he says, believing him, meditating upon it, trusting him, chewing on it, and walking with him, and you see victory. Victory. And any time they didn't seek God as a priority, that's when they made a bad mistake with the Gibeonites. When they made an allegiance with them, all they had to do was go to God, and God would have what? Made it clear that these people were deceiving them. They didn't do it. They were pushed in a hasty move to respond quickly, and they didn't bring it to the Lord, and the whole group, Joshua and all the elders, let them dupe them on that. And then that cost them something, but it's also going to cost some other people down the road. It's going to play in with King Saul and King David down the road. Years and years later, that mistake is going to be brought to light with a whole other group of people. Just like when Saul didn't do what he was supposed to do with the Amalekites, then you get a guy in Esther's day by the name of Haman who's going to do what he did. But look, the walls came down. Why? Esther knew she was born for such a time as this and trust God, and God gave her a word to act on, and when she did, God took care of that, didn't he? And because that's what he does when you take him at his word and walk in his obedience and faith. And that's a fight, isn't it? That's an everyday fight. Look in Psalm 34, I believe it is. Go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Look at some of these promises that go along with this idea. Psalm 34. So did the Lord give? He did, didn't he? And man, everything he promised, he gave. Psalm 34. Notice that with this mindset of the good that God gives, that he will not withhold any good thing. Let's see what he says. You know, Psalm 34:1, we'll just start out there. This is a good place to live, isn't it? I will what? Bless the Lord? When? I will bless the Lord at all times. And really, the only time we have is what? Right now. Right now is the only time we got. The only time we have to bless him. That's that ever-present, active faith that's blessing him right now. We don't have a promise of later on, do we? We don't have a promise tomorrow. I got plans. The man's heart plans his way. But the Lord directs the what? The step. We're not really promised tomorrow, even though we make plans for tomorrow, right? Today's troubles are sufficient to get just through the day. So right now is the only time we have to bless him. And when we bless him, we bless him by praising him, by giving him glory. His praise shall be what? Continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it, thereof, and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us together exalt his name together. Amen. That's just a great little creed to live by. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise is going to be continually in my mouth. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Look, let's magnify the Lord together. Let's live in that kind of way. Verse number 4, he says, I sought the Lord, and when I sought him, this is part of blessing him. This is part of blessing him. I'll bless the Lord at all times. Well, to bless him at all times, you got to seek him. You seek him. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You think Joshua and them had some fears? Yeah. Joshua and them didn't know what they was fixing to encounter with those walls fall. They didn't know how many armed soldiers would be ready for them when those walls fell. They had to what? Wait on the Lord. Do it God's way. And when God knocked down the walls, he done promised them, though, they had to see it in faith, that God had already given that place to them. Verse 5, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. I think the idea of they, because he really doesn't tell us, Janet, I think the idea is those that are magnifying the Lord with him, those that are humble and see the praise and are glad when they see it. The idea is the humble who join in us when they hear us praising God, they look to him and are radiant with us in our praise. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord what? Verse 6, the Lord heard him and delivered or saved him out of all his troubles. Notice what happens. The angel of the Lord. Now, we talked about the angel of the Lord this morning, didn't we? Who was that commander of the Lord of hosts? That was the Son of God. That was the God himself had showed up. And that's the angel of the Lord, as the Bible would refer to him. What does he do? He surrounds or encamps all around those who what? Who fear the Lord. And he delivers them. Remember when Josh said, are you for us? Are you for them over there? And he said, no. The question is, are you with me? Are you with me? Because God showed up to take over. God showed up to take over. And that's what the angel of the Lord does, to deliver us. Verse number 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And keep that in mind. No good thing will he withhold from him that is upright. Now, the upright man what? Seeks the Lord. The upright man fears God. The upright man is trusting God. He says, blessed is the man who what? Trust in him. Remember Psalm 84:11. No good thing will he withhold from him that walks uprightly. You can't walk uprightly and not trust God. It's the only way to walk uprightly. So you can taste that the Lord is good, even in a hard thing, Miss Pat, when you trust him. Amen? Amen. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack, and they suffer hunger. Look, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack what? Oh, watch it. Those that what? Seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. With Psalm 84:11, no good thing does he keep back from them that walk uprightly with him. Well, a man that walks uprightly is a man that seeks him. Amen. A man that trusts him. A woman that fears him. That gives place and priority to him. What did we read in Joshua 21:45? That God, not one word or message that he spoke, not one failed of the good thing that he spoke to him. Not one good thing. So the good thing is the insights on life and living and warfare and everything that comes our way. That's the good thing, Brother Shannon, for the hard thing. Amen. That's the good thing for the hard thing in life. Life's hard. Life's difficult. Life's a challenge. But you see, God gives us a good thing because he's doing something in us to make us more like him in the hard thing and the good things, because he gave us a good thing on how to live in this life. Now, let's read that one more time. He says that in this creation we live in, even the young lions lack. But they that what? Seek the Lord lack no good thing. Now, we've got to keep in mind, we are not the qualifiers of what is good. That's another dynamic. We're not the ones who determine if this is good or that's good. That determination comes from above. He determines what is good for me and what's not good for me. Remember, you heard me say it before. What God says about a thing is more important than the thing itself. So he's the one who determines what is good. And what is not good, what is right and what is not right, what is a blessing and what is not a blessing. And he will not hold back anything that he knows is good for me in the midst of this world. The creation we live in, even the most fierce of beasts will lack. But they that seek the Lord, trust the Lord, and fear God will not lack any good thing that the Lord sees fit to give us. Now you think about it. David, as he writes this, he understood the things that he was facing that caused the fears in his life was actually a good thing. Because the fears that came in him caused him to do what? Seek the Lord. And seeking the Lord was the good thing that the fears produced in him. That when the troubles came, they drew him to God. And that's the good thing. Even though he was facing a hard thing, even though these enemies surround him, like in Psalm 3 when his son came and he had won the whole nation over to him, and David said, there's myriads and myriads outnumbering us. What are we going to do? He said, but God, you're the one who lifts my head. You're the one who lifts my head. You're the one who let me lay down and sleep at night and have sweet sleep, even though I'm surrounded by the enemy. Why? Because these things, for the man that seeks God, trusts God, fears God, that the angel of the Lord is encamped about him, even though all these fears that are coming his way, he knows that it's a deliverer who's bringing him through, and he's not bringing himself through this. He didn't overcome these fears or overcome these enemies in his own strength. God's brought him through it. And God put him in positions to know he brought him through it, and that's a good thing. So that meant he had to be shaken at his core to realize, I can't overcome these enemies. I must seek the Lord. I must turn to God. I must trust him and fear him. And the angel of the Lord encamps about me and protects me. I didn't protect myself. I didn't keep myself. God brought this hard thing in my life, but this hard thing actually turned out to be a good thing. And that good thing had me seeking him. And man, that's why we read this morning out of Psalm 73, when the psalmist was in despair because he kept looking at everybody out there. But when he went into the sanctuary, when he went in and got a word from the Lord, he realized their end and what God had been doing for him. And what did he say? It's good for me to draw nigh unto the Lord. Why? God used the hard things to be a what? A good thing in his life. And that's just what he does. Now, David is going to say in verse number 11, he says, won't you come, you children, and come listen to me. Let me teach you. I will teach you what? The fear of the Lord. Who is the man that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And that right there is quoted. Peter pulled that out in 1 Peter chapter 3. That section right there. If you really want to be a blessing, if you want a blessing, you got to be a blessing. And this is what David, if you want the blessings of God, you're going to be a blessing for God. And this is how we in this world we live in are to be a blessing for God. When we what? Want to know the fear of the Lord and what it means to draw near unto God and be a vessel that he can speak through, that we magnify him and not discredit him in a world that we give more credit to the enemy than we give glory to God. So he says in verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cries out to the Lord. Okay. If you want to see long days and you don't want to return evil for evil, what do? You bring this to who? You bring it to the Lord, right? You don't defend yourself. You go to your deliverer and seek him. And we can just keep walking through. Look what he says. And he delivers them out of all their troubles. Doesn't say he keeps us from it. What? Remember, the troubles is it's a hard thing, but it's because God determined the trouble was a good thing. A trouble that was needed. Verse 18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. This is the intent that the trouble gets us to, that our hearts are cracked and broken, that our spirit, in the sense of our pride and our abilities, Brother Shannon, slip away. They get out at a broken heart. We're depleted of ourselves, that we can't get ourselves out of this. And he saves or delivers such as of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions, verse 19, of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. That meant he brought you to it, he brought you through it, and he brought you out of it. But he never keeps us from it, because he determined the affliction, though hard, was good, was a good thing, because of what he was going to do in it with you. Verse 20, notice this. Now he's getting prophetic here. This is prophetic. This is about Jesus. What does he do? Even though Jesus was in a hard thing, but that hard thing was what? Was it a good thing? Oh, man, was it ever a good thing? The hard thing Jesus went through was a sure enough good thing for you and I. He says in verse 20, he guards all my bones, not one of them is broken. And that's directly talking about Jesus on the cross. When he was beaten, put on the cross, and he died and yielded up the spirit, what they would do in those days, I know you're familiar with this and understand this, but when they were on that cross, the whole point of the excruciating pain was the suffocation that they would go through, because they couldn't hold themselves up. And as long as they could hold themselves up, they would do their best with those nails in their feet and in their hands. But anytime they would take the pressure off, they would suffocate on their lungs. Well, they had to hold themselves up. But because of what the day was, and there was a Sabbath the next day, the soldiers walked up to those men and they would break their leg bone so they could no longer support their weight. And they would just hang and then they would suffocate and die on the cross. Well, when they got to Jesus, he was already dead. He had done yielded up the ghost. He had finished the work. So they took the spear to verify of the fact that he was dead before they took him down. They took the spear and stuck it in his side. And the scripture says both blood and water came out. He was dead. They didn't have to break his bone. So this passage is prophetic toward that hard thing that he was going through, but what a good thing that it was. Verse 21, evil shall slay the wicked, but we don't have to fear evil, do we? Evil slays those that are wrong, but for the righteous, we don't have to fear it. Well, if the enemy means for harm, God works together for what? Good. And those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. And praise ye the Lord. Amen? Amen. Okay, that goes right along with Romans 8, where it says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus that are led by the Spirit. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? Nobody. Why? They're not, you can't condemn them. Why? Because of the hard thing Jesus went through, which was a good thing for us, he then transfers his righteousness to us when he took our sin upon the cross. So when you're as righteous as Jesus, there is no condemnation. You can't be condemned for being perfectly righteous because of somebody who took our place in our stead. So the hard thing was what? It was a good thing. Those that seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. Now let's go look at it in 84. In 84. Go look in 84. Psalm 84. Let's run this road together. 84. We're running a race. We can see the finish line coming. Psalm 84. I love these truths. They help us. Why? Because in a world that we constantly seeing more and more trouble manifested, what do we do? Well, Psalms has been helping us. What do? We look up. We tune in and listen for God's voice. And we lean upon him. When you say look up, that means I'm seeking him. I'm turning to him. I'm trusting what he gives me. I'm putting my confidence in him. And what is he? No matter how dark it gets in this world we live in. Verse 11 says, for the Lord God is what? He's light. He's life. He's life. In a world full of death, he's life. In a world full of darkness, he's life and light. And he is our shield. Just like the sun has not wavered in its purpose since God put it in the sky and in motion. The sun has been constant. And God is more constant than a sun that he put in the sky. There's going to come a day when there's no more need for the sun. But who's going to be the light? Jesus is going to be the light. But not only is he constant, but he's also our confidence because he is constant. He's our shield. He is our light. He is our life. He is our love that we get cover behind, that we come behind, that we stand behind. He is a sun and a shield. And look, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who what? Walk uprightly. Wow, what a word. What a word. The contrast is with Korah himself. Korah didn't walk uprightly with the Lord. Korah thought he knew better than the Lord. Korah thought he had a better design for his life than God had for his life. Remember, what God says about a thing is more important than the thing itself. So what God said about Korah, what God said about Korah's life is better than what Korah thought about his life. But Korah thought he could do more than Moses could do, that he would be better off doing what Moses did. The children of Israel would be in better shape if he was in charge and in leadership. And they resisted Moses, him and Dothan, and they came against him. And this psalm is written by his great-great-great-grandsons who realize, hey, our grandpa got out of line, but we ain't getting out of line. Our grandpa didn't want to do what you set him apart to do, but we want to do what you set us apart to do. And if we, that just means we keep the door in the house of God. We content with that, Lord, because if we walk uprightly with you, you will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly to you. From the doorkeeper to the preacher, to the Sunday school teacher, to the Bible leader, to the children's worker, to the giver, to whatever it is that God gives you to do in the kingdom. You do it, and you do it as his, for his glory. And seeing it great, you can count on, hey, God's not going to hold back any good thing from you. You can run with it. It may not be glamorous. It may not be in the spotlight. It may go unknown by most people in the world. But if it's what God's given you to do, and you know God gave you to do it, and you're doing it, whether it be in the confines of your home as an intercessor or whatever it is, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly with him. Amen. No good thing will he withhold. And remember, those that seek him, trust him, and fear him, they shall lack no good thing. Man. Verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who what? Trust. And you keep seeing that thing. David wrote about it. Korah wrote about it. Asaph wrote about it. Moses wrote about it. Joshua was writing about it. Everybody writes about how blessed is the man that what? Trust in the Lord. Man, there's great, great reward in that. So, when we think back on Joshua 21, we think about those walls falling. The Lord gave what he promised. And nothing failed of the good word that he spoke to them. Even though they had to do a lot of hard stuff, God gave them the good thing in the midst of the hard. And in the end, we're still reading about it today, of their works of faith that glorified the Lord and learn from how they walked with him. No, we don't have to walk around the walls. No, we don't have to run down the AI. No, we don't have to burn the chariots or the hamstring the horses. But what we need to do is take God at his word. Trust what he gives us, even when it doesn't make sense. Cling to it. Walk with him. Seek him and realize that God's going to let things come in our life that trouble us, that are hard. But remember, the hard thing is often the good thing that God's doing with us to what? Glorify him. Amen. Now, when we fail in it, what do? Wipe the dust off, get back up, and just realize, like Psalm 73, he was failing in it. Why? He started looking at everybody around him that we read this morning. He started looking at everybody around him. He said, man, all these heathen out there, they ain't got no troubles, no problems. Everything looks so good for them. And I've been doing all I can to do what is right. Man, I'm plagued with trouble. This ain't right. But he never spoke it out loud. It was what he was thinking where? Within him. Habakkuk, for an example. When he heard what God was going to do, it troubled him and said, God, you can't do this. But he didn't speak it out loud. It was what? To himself, within himself. But he said, God, I'm going to wait on you and I'm going to go to the ramparts. I'm going to wait to hear from you. And God spoke a word into him just like he did to the psalmist and Asaph in 73. And he come to the conclusion, hey, who do I have in heaven but you? Who do I have on the earth but you? I've been with you continually. You've kept me. You protected me. You've guided me. You've led me. And I believe you're still going to lead me. And it's good for me to what? Draw near unto the Lord. And that's just the way life winds out for us believers. Amen. that God will put you in a position that, man, and you're struggling with, why am I thinking this way? But look, don't go tell everybody how you're thinking on it. Just bring it to the Lord. Seek Him and let Him fix your thinker. Amen. Let Him realign and readjust to his ways. Because these truths oftentimes creates a crisis of conviction within us. And we get troubled on the inside. And we can't see it the way that He sees it. But if you be patient and wait upon Him, He says, you'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run and won't get weary, and you'll walk and not faint. Why? Because they that wait upon the Lord, God's going to do a work in them. So you wait upon Him and you run to Him. Well, in the New Testament, you can parallel these things over in the book of Romans chapter 8, about this idea of the good thing. Real quick before we go, let's just go read it. Go read it. Romans 8, then we'll head on out of here today. Romans 8. The book of Romans, New Testament. This is the idea of the hard thing being a good thing. Often the good thing is a hard thing. No good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. These things help us. They help us. Look what he says in verse number 28. Romans 8:28. Probably one of the most familiar and quoted passages by many people around the world. But I want you to be able to couple it. What we read in Psalm 34, what we read in Psalm 84, and what we read in Joshua 21:45 about the good thing that didn't fail. That everything God spoke, it came to pass. The good thing that He spoke did not fail. Verse 28. And we know, you got to know it. You got to know it. This is revelation. That all things work together for good. Didn't say all things are good, but all things work together what? For good. Now He's going to qualify it, Brother Shannon. To those who what?
Love God.
When you love somebody, you treasure that person that you love. Amen. You know about that person that you love. You find out about that person that you love. To those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Joshua fit into this picture here. He had a calling on his life. He had an assignment by God. He trusted God. He loved God. He treasured Him. And soon as he realized he was in the presence of God, he kicked those shoes off and hit his face, didn't he? Amen. He said, I recognize, I thought you might have been a warrior who wanted to fight with us on our side. And I thought you might have been a warrior that wanted to fight against with our enemies. But now I see that you got, and I want to fight on your side. I'm going to join you in this fight. Well, those that are called according to His purpose. Verse 29. For whom God foreknew, God also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now that idea of predestined to be conformed, that means He uses the hard thing in a good way to conform us to the image of Jesus. That's the idea. That's at Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. To the image of Jesus, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, let's take it a step further, whom God predestined, these He also called, and whom He called, these God also justified, and whom God justified, these He also glorified. And, verse 31, with knowing this, what then shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? If God is what? For us, who can be against us? Verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, as Psalm 34 would say, remember, none of His bones were broken. It was a hard thing. God didn't spare His Son in a hard thing. But the hard thing was what? A good thing. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he, God, not with him, Jesus, also freely give us what? All things. This is the work that Joshua was sent into the promised land to give to the children of Israel, that he gave them the land, he gave them rest, and he gave them what? All the enemies in their hand, and not a good thing that was spoken failed. Okay, now read that again, that he says, he delivered him up for us all. How shall God not with Jesus also freely give us all things? Every good thing that he's spoken will not fail of what he promised to give us in Christ Jesus, our inheritance in him. And that good thing is often the hard thing that makes us look and be conformed to the image of Jesus. Amen. You see what I'm talking about? This is Joshua 21. This is Psalm 34, Psalm 84. This is no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And those that love him and are called according to his purpose are those that seek him, those that trust him, those that fear him. The angel of the Lord encamps about him. And every good thing that God has planned to give that will not fail is going to be consumed, going to be wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. If he gave him to us while we were enemies, how much the more now that we are his sons and his daughters and a friend, how much more will he give us the life that he lived then right now? That's the idea. The life and the gifting that was on Jesus, God gives to us now that we have been reconciled unto him. He didn't spare his son when we were an enemy. But now that we are reconciled, how much the more will he grant to us what is needed in the good thing to do the good work that he's called us to do? Man, this is the Christ life, the good thing that God gives us. So what shall we say to it? Who in the world can be against us if God be what? That hard thing that I'm facing, man, God's for me. And because he's for me, he's going to use that hard thing in a good way to make me more and more like Jesus. Amen. And man, we can't help but praise him for that. Amen. How many of you been through some hard stuff? Amen. Hey, that's what he does. That's what he does. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord brings them out of it all. Doesn't keep us from it. Just like this world we live in. Psalm 82, we talked to the men this morning a little bit about it. Psalm 82 talked about the judges, uses the word, you probably read it, use the word gods. He says, hey to you gods, it's the idea of judges, people who are in authority, rulers. Remember this, God, the judge, judges the judgments of the judges. Our God is the judge who judges the judgments of those in authority right now. He sits upon his throne. He sees and he will hold every one of them accountable. And though the whole world run with them in their judgments, he tells us in Psalm 11, if those foundations of a society are destroyed, what do we as the righteous do? You need a revelation that God's still sitting as judge on the throne. He sees. He knows. He has a plan for them, but he's also got a plan for you. And you put your confidence in him and you trust him, even though nobody else is running with him. You walk with him. You walk with him. You walk with him. God will test the righteous, he says. He'll put you through the difficulty of walking with him. But remember, he's not going to withhold no good thing as you walk with him. You just keep walking with him. Amen. Keep walking with him. That's what you do in days like today. You look up, you listen for, you lean in, and you just keep leading other people to him. Whether they follow it or not, you keep leading them to him. Leading them to him. Leading them to him. And he's going to give you what you need to lead them to him, to lean on him, to listen for him, and to keep looking up to him. Keep looking up to him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Psalm 11, Psalm 82, Psalm 84, Psalm 34, Joshua 21, Romans 8. Romans 8. Great truths to hold to and walk in. Amen. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We ask you to help us with these tonight and the days ahead. Only time we have right now is to bless you. So we want to seek you. We want to praise you. As we encouraged in the Psalms, that we will praise you. Your praise shall be continually in our mouth. We're going to want to glorify you and honor you and magnify you. And I pray those that are listening to us, those that will listen to us, those that are among us right now, Lord, they will be glad when they hear the message of magnifying your work in our life. Lord, we don't have to fear lacking any good thing, even in troublesome times, as we walk with you. But we don't want to be the ones who go out of our way and determine what is good and what ain't good. You have to give us that, and you have to reveal that to us. And it's a good thing that you, who did not spare your son, but gave him for us, that you would not have to withhold anything for your people in this world we live in, of the work that you've done in him and through him, that hard thing, which turns out to be such a good, blessed thing for us. So thank you for your determination, your diligence, your might, and your desire to make us more and more like your son in this world we live in. So thank you for delivering us to death, that the life of Christ can be manifested out of our mortal flesh. And we're going to praise you for it. Look over us, use us. And as we praise you, I pray others will see you enthroned in our praises. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Love y'all. Y'all have a good night. Yes, ma'am.